morning, and welcome to the WINY Talk Show. It's time for you to be heard. The talk show welcomes everyone's calls once per hour. Dial 928-1350 and tell Northeastern Connecticut your story.
Good Thursday morning, Northeastern Connecticut. Welcome to your WINY talk show. Sean Johnston with you this morning, and in studio and on the phone, I am thrilled to have guests from the Thompson Historical Society. Most historical societies, when they embark on trying to give the history of their town, they do it in a whole bunch of fashions, but not many do a premiere film. So I've got four gentlemen in studio and on the phone lines this morning. So let's start right from my left. Good morning, John Rice.
Good Welcome. Morning, Sean.
Thrilled that you're on. Blair Cole, the director of this film and the driving force behind it. Good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Appreciate. And Tom Chase, who's been working on this project formerly in his life career, worked for the Smithsonian and lending some tremendous expertise. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
And on the phones, we have Joe I.R. Martino, the backbone of the Thompson Historical Society. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning. Glad you are here. Blair, give us a little background. The Thompson Historical Society is going to have a premiere, film premiere in August. The Nine Lives of Number Nine, the true story of the Ramsdell train. How did this come about? Whose brainstorm is this? And sounds like you brought a lot of the expertise to the table to actually do a film.
Well, I brought a lot of the video production expertise to it. I kind of volunteered my services. I've had a long-standing interest in this story. I'll give you a little background very briefly. I grew up in Leominster, Mass. My father grew up in Thompson, and we used to come down summers to work on the house here in Thompson and Moe.
Mm.
And a couple of times I remember my mother asking me as an 8-year-old if I'd like to go see my Aunt Alice's trains.
Oh, so there's the family relation here.
And,
neat.
Yeah. And
okay.
At 8 years old, I had my own train set, and I thought, why would I want to go see some old lady's train set? And I never went, and it wasn't until years later I found out that it was an actual real steam locomotive from the 19th century that was sitting on the farm. And not too many people have a steam locomotive sitting on their farm. And we talked for a long time about doing something. And I think after going up to Maine to the Wiscasset, Waterville, and Farmington Railway Museum, where they had it restored and running for their restoration and 125th birthday, that was back in August of 2016, we all put our heads together and decided we have to do something. And we started talking and formed a group to research and do some story and script development, and it just started from there. So, and that's how we all came together on this.
Nice. It's always fascinating to find out. We all know we have some little snippets of history in our towns. We hear about through stories, through lore, but oftentimes we don't really get not all that accurate at times. Sometimes we don't find out, and so it's really neat that you dove into this topic. So now you want to do something on it. How does that process begin? Other than okay, we've got an idea. We want to document this. Maybe we do a film. Where does that process go?
We decided that we wanted to put together a documentary film and aim it at PBS, try to get it aired on PBS, and also a finished piece that we could display in both museums up in Maine and here. And Tom and Joe Lindley and Joe R. Martino, myself, Mark Snay, we started work on it. Joe, Tom, and I became kind of the writing team.
Mm-hmm.
And we started by researching the story, pulling together all the documentation and information that we had. Tom was instrumental in pulling together photos from the historical archives, another project that he was working on that I'm sure he'll want to talk about a little bit later. Mark Snay did some deep, he's kind of our history sleuth. He found some things that we had a hard time finding. I think in any documentary of this type, you're out looking everywhere for material You know, we're up in Maine looking for material. We're down here looking for material. Mm-hmm. Anyone who was living that we could talk to that was, you know, a part of the story, we interviewed. And we were really, really fortunate in being able to get our hands on some long-lost video that was an interview that was filmed by the Army Corps of Engineers with Alice back in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, I think. And yep. we actually were able to get our hands on those original videotapes and digitize them and use that.
Great.
So that's something that has very few people have seen.
Blair, we were also lucky that we found that video of Harry Percival that was absolutely pivotal to the film.
Yeah.
And when was that video from, Tom, about?
Oh.
That was shot, well, 90s?
Yeah, in the 90s. I think about 1990.
So some archival video material. It, you know, it's a lot of historical photos, you know, going back to the 19th century, the towns, the trains, all those types of scenes. But really key to it are the interviews because the story takes place over such a long period of time. Most of the key actors are gone.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
And we can't talk to them. Yeah. So being able to find those things and being able to put them into the film and for people to be able to see them actually telling the story themselves is really, really cool.
And so this film premiere is going to be in August.
Yeah,
so give us some dates and times and what people can look forward to, how they can, do they buy tickets? How do they get themselves there? What are the details on that, Blair?
It'll be August 14th. Showtimes are 1:15 and 2:45 at the Turtelot Memorial High School Auditorium in Thompson. Tickets are free with advance registration, and you simply email a reservation request to Jenny Flood, and I can give you her email, or you guys put it up on your site.
We will put it up on our site, and I know that if you run into any member of the Thompson Historical Society around town, they can get you that information. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, maybe we can start with the story. How does Alice Randell end up with the steam locomotive? That seems to be, in my mind, maybe the starting point, but we'll be right back with members of the Thompson Historical Society.
Attention Putnam residents. A household hazardous waste collection day will be held on Saturday, July 24th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Putnam Middle School, 33 Wicker Street in Putnam. This collection day is limited to Putnam households only and will require proof of residency. Bring your oil-based paints, insecticides, antifreeze, rat poison, drain cleaners, or other hazardous household waste. This is a free event for Putnam residents only. For more information, go to putnamct.com.
Staples Connect has everything for school at amazing prices. Right now, Staples One Subject Notebooks are only 25 cents each, and Crayola 24-count crayons, two-pocket polyfolders, and 4-ounce Elmer's glue are just 50 cents each. So your student won't just be ready for school. There'll be tons of drawings to hang on the fridge ready.
We're going to need a bigger refrigerator.
Visit your local Staples store or staples.com/back to school and get amazing prices for everything on your back-to-school list. Ends 9/18, limit 30, notebooks in store only. Offer may vary online.
A massive food share event open to everyone is happening this Saturday morning, July 24th at 9 a.m. at a new location this week, Putnam High School, 152 Woodstock Avenue in Putnam. This is a drive-through event, and everyone receives two 21-pound boxes of produce free of charge. Over 1,300 boxes of food will be distributed that Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. at Putnam High School. Please enter via Woodstock Avenue. Presented by the Danielson Veterans Coffee House, the town of Putnam, American Legion Post 13, the Putnam VFW, the Putnam Business Association, and WINY.
Hi, Mike Moore from Vashon GMC Cadillac, a proud member of the Vashon Auto Group that includes Vashon Ford and Vashon Chevrolet in Brooklyn, Connecticut. Vashon GMC Cadillac, located at 139 Pomfret Street, Putnam, Connecticut, right down the road from Winnie Radio, is your one stop for all your automotive needs. Our inventory of new GMC trucks is increasing weekly to meet the demands from our previous King customers and also the new customers from all over New England and beyond. Cadillac is red hot, and the all-new 2021 Escalade is a must-see. Our pre-owned inventory gets a big increase, as we can get any used vehicle from our sister stores. The service and parts department have never been busier. We've increased our hours, offer free pickup and delivery of your vehicle, or we can provide free courtesy transportation. We are also an official emission test center. Vashon GMC Cadillac, 860-928-6572, or check VashonGMC.com.
Boston Red Sox baseball is on WINY 1350 AM and 97.1 FM. Following a seven-game road trip, the Sox are back at Fenway for a four-game series with the rival Yankees, and WINY will bring you all the live action with first pitch at 7:10 on both Thursday and Friday night. Red Sox baseball on WINY is presented by Girardi Insurance Services, Vandy Auto Supply, The Burns Agency, and Christopher Heights Assisted Living.
You work hard and you train hard, and let's face it, sometimes it hurts. But it doesn't have to be that way. Stick it to the pain with the Tiger Balm Pain Relieving Patch. Convenient to apply, Hydrogel technology sends Tiger Balm's proven pain relief right to your aches and pains. It's fast, safe, and long-lasting. Made from a blend of herbal ingredients, Tiger Balm is trusted pain relief for everyone, from world-class athletes to weekend warriors. Roar back with Tiger Balm. It works where it hurts. Available at stores everywhere.
Do you have a story to tell? Call the WINY Talk Show now. Our telephone lines are open. Call 928-1350.
Ricky, don't lose that number. It's the only one you want. You might use it if you feel better.
When you get home.
Welcome back to your WINY Talk Show. Sean Johnston back with you with special guests this morning, Joe Iarmartino, John Rice, Blair Cole, and Tom Chase. Join me in studio from the Thompson Historical Society talking about a premiere film they have coming up telling the true story of the Ramsdell train. Tom, tell me, how does Alice Ramsdell end up in possession of this steam locomotive train in her backyard on her farm in West Thompson?
Well, Sean, maybe the best way to tell you is to read you part of a clipping from the Boston Herald for May 26, 1937.
Awesome.
Four men who have always wanted a railroad train to play with now have a locomotive, a freight car, a flat car, a dump car, and lots of rail. And they anticipate a lot of fun putting the whole together into a two-mile railroad. The four are Frank D. Ramsdell, on whose 70-acre West Thompson farm the railroad will be built, Chester and Lewis Judkins of Boston, and William Moneypenny of Cambridge, Massachusetts. They plan to do all the work themselves. The engine and cars unloaded here last week were built in 1897 and once ran on the now-defunct Wiscasset, Waterville, and Farmington Railroad in Maine. They bought them cheap, but found that 40 years' exposure to Maine weather had made extensive reconditioning necessary. Then they talk about the locomotive, and this ends by saying the four men are all charter members of the Railway Enthusiast Society of Boston, and Mr. Ramsdell is a charter member of the Locomotive and Historical Society. The four insist they're only building the railroad for the fun of it, but townspeople say, who knows, they may be selling us weekend excursions. Well, that's how it started for them.
Wow.
But of course there's a prequel. I mean, they had to find the engine up there. Bill Moneypenny, who had actually came from Chicago, from a family that were grocers and bankers.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that he had plenty of money.
Okay.
And I think when he was 19, he decided he wanted to be a rail fan. And he moved, the only rail fan society at that time was the Railway and Locomotive Historical Society in Boston. So he moved to Cambridge and
fascinating.
Took up with them, made a lot of trips up to the Wiscasset, Waterville, and Farmington when it was actually running. So he was very familiar with the property. And when that engine came available, he snapped it up. And then they brought it down here, started to work on it. The poster shows a four of them on here. Looking at the poster, it shows Frank Ramsdell on the left,
okay.
Alice Ramsdell on the ground with her dog Buddy, the two Judkins on with white shirts on, and Frank's longtime school friend Albert Lentz with a hat on behind the smokestack. So they're all friends, and this is just after they got it down here in May 1937.
Tom, did I hear a two-mile track?
That's what they wanted to build.
Oh, that's what they wanted. Okay.
Yeah,
What did they build? I mean, we have a steam locomotive now that arrives on the Ramsdale farm. Were tracks laid down?
Well, they started to recondition it, and they bought some parts. But the first thing they had to do was to build a shed to protect it from the weather.
Okay.
And so they did that, and sort of on the north end of the farm. We know where it was, and if you walk over there, at least a year ago, you could still feel where the ties were under the grass, little mm-hmm. solid spots. They built about 50 feet of rail within the shed and then outside. And as I say, then they started to recondition it, but it turned out it was more of a job than they thought it would be. Mm. And, of course, this was 1937. Soon, the war intervened. And people weren't restoring an engine. They were lucky to keep it away from the scrap drives during the war. Thank goodness it was in a shed.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
All the rail got taken out into the woods and hidden.
And hidden. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they made it through the war without anybody scrapping it, and then a couple of the people lost interest. Moneypenny moved down to Florida. It sort of languished in the shed. Every so often, someone would come by and look at it. Occasionally, they'd wheel it out on the tracks so you could get a good photograph of it. But it just stayed there for 60 years.
And Alice hung on to that train in that barn and would show it to visitors.
Alice hung on to that train with fierceness.
Yeah.
A number of people wanted it, including Nelson Blount, who was then running Edaville, the narrow gauge railroad up in Massachusetts, and he came to visit with Alice. He came with Moneypenny.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We have their signatures in the guest book. We don't know what they talked about.
Okay,
but I have a good guess that Alice was saying, "You guys are not going to get my train."
Right. Oh, that is too funny. So it's a great neat. So Blair, how did you make that decision? Okay, we got this great story. How's the decision made? We're gonna do a film on it, because that's quite an endeavor.
We were all at Riverside Pizza sitting around the table. I think.
Yeah, that's where we had our development meetings.
All the important meetings happen around food.
Sunday
food and drink
at Riverside. Yeah, having pizza and talking about it. I think we just decided we wanted to go for it. It was a story that needs to be told. I mean, everybody in Thompson. And you know, the wider area is well aware of Alice, who stared down the Army Corps of Engineer.
And that's an equally fascinating story.
And was able to stay on her farm, which brings me to the title. Joe Lindley coined the title, The Nine Lives of Number Nine.
I coined the title.
You did? Oh, Tom did. I thought Joe did. Oh. Sorry.
No.
But.
Everybody said, hey, that sounds good.
Yeah. Okay.
And what does that refer to? There's got to be a story behind that title. The Nine Lives.
This locomotive was very, very nearly destroyed at least nine times. The railroad went out of business. It was scrapped. Its sister engines and all the equipment were stripped. Its number 8 wrecked on the rails on a riverbank, and it was stripped where it lay.
Yeah, that was the cause of abandoning, stopping operations.
Okay.
Number 8 went off the rails. They couldn't get it back on. They said, and just gave up.
Whole operation shut down.
It was saved from the scrapyard by being bought by Moneypenny and Frank and brought down here. But then Moneypenny walked away. There's another threat to it. Frank didn't have the money to do it on his own. And then the war came. They had to hide it from the scrap drive because 18 tons of iron and steel.
Mm.
And he could have made, you know, something on that then. Frank passes away in 54. In 55, we have the flood, which leads to the Army Corps coming in, the whole village of West Thompson being taken by eminent domain. If Alice had lost the farm, what would have happened to it then? There's another threat to it. And then when Alice passed, it was inherited by her nephew, Dale. And he has a small home in Cranston. He had no place to put it. But this is where the story really gets interesting, because there's a whole other parallel story happening up in Maine. Guy named Harry Percival, who as a child used to ride his bike and hike up and down the what was left of the old rail line up there, and wondering whatever became of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided he wanted to rebuild the line, not just as a museum or anything, but as an actual working line. That was his dream. He found out where it went. He found out it was down here in Thompson. He reached out to Alice, and at the same time, he was building his own little museum up there. And then another younger person, yet another generation, Jason LaMontagne, comes along, and he has the same dream. It's like, whatever happened to this old rail line? He bumps into Harry's little museum, which was a kiosk at the time. He becomes involved. Well, Jason ended up becoming a steam engineer.
Yeah, and I believe he worked vice president of the railroad, too.
Vice president, and he rebuilt the thing. It's just, it's absolutely amazing.
Absolutely.
You know, the way that this machine somehow, you know, escaped numerous run-ins with complete obliteration and was able to get back up into Maine and running.
When it was originally at it was bought new by the Sandy River Railroad in, I think, 1892. They got it over there. It ran for a year, had a big crash. They sent it back to the Portland Company to get it totally rebuilt. That was the first of the nine.
First of the nine, and many more to come, it sounds
many more
like.
To come.
And then the unlikely resting place almost, or destination spot, of a small farm in a little village in the town of Thompson, sitting along the river and just tucked away in this shed that they built and surviving the whole war era and the scrap metal, and quietly just sitting there, and everyone knew about it, at least in town. And it was always legendary. And it sounds like if you grew up in town and you got a chance to spend an afternoon or a couple hours with Alice Ramsdell, and she'd show you all her farm, the whole farm. But if you got to see the train, what a day that was.
My own story about that, in Linwood Moody's book about the Maine two-footers, he talks about the engine and how it's ended up on a farm in Woodstock. Okay. Well, you know, that was wrong. But when I was a teenager, I'd read Linwood Moody's book. I came down here, drove all around, didn't find any place in Woodstock.
In Woodstock.
So I'd left. I didn't think to ask anybody. Everybody knew about Alice. If I'd stopped in the local gas station, I could have probably found it, but I didn't.
Sure. Joe Iarmatino, can you weigh in here just from the Historical Society perspective on the whole mystery and aura of Alice Ramsdell, the Ramsdell farm, the train, the Army Corps of Engineers stand, which is legendary as well?
Oh, sure. This first of all, this is a bunch of crackpots, you know, working on all kinds of projects for different aspects of the Historical Society and also the Maine group. And it takes these unique individuals, these people who have little specialized knowledge in different areas, and just think of the serendipity involved here, to get these wackadoodles all organized to pull not only the train to get it restored and working, but also to get this story told accurately. So it really took a cast of criminals to make this thing amazing. The story itself is amazing, but the life this little locomotive endured is just so fun and entertaining. And that's what I really hope comes across in the movie that Blair has so eloquently assembled for us.
It certainly sounds like, from the descriptions that you guys are giving us, that's coming across today. So if that comes across, I'm sure that will come across in the film, Joe.
Oh, yeah. The uniqueness of the personalities. I mean, Alice Ramsdell is a legend by herself. Well, mm-hmm. We have numerous legends. Tom Chase is a legend. Blair Cole, think of all the videos he's developed for this Historical Society outside of this one. But this is his magnus opus here. This is going to be big. And it is on PBS in Connecticut, we think, in September or October. To think that
awesome.
He's got it to this level.
Yes.
This is awesome.
Boy, and they do not allow anything on there. To run on PBS that isn't top shelf quality, meets their absolute standards, from what I understand.
Right. It's very likely that Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island will show it as well. Blair's still working with them to get those approvals. So this hopefully will be an entire New England story, and really New England is entirely involved in this story as it touches on not only West Thompson people, but also the people who've assembled the collection. If you look at the collection that the Ramsdell family left the Thompson Historical Society, and now that collection is going to be also available for viewing on August 14th up there in our museums.
Oh, the same day then?
Memorial High School. Yeah.
Oh, how
perfect.
They'll
be open as well.
Okay.
Come see all the materials that the Ramsdells donated through Dale King, the nephew. So very exciting.
Oh, I bet. Joe, who best to tell the story, the Ramsdell legend, not the train, but the other legend, the legend of the stand with the Army Corps of Engineers? Not necessarily, I'm not talking about a film, but today, who wants to share that story? Maybe I shared my brief version of that yesterday on the air, but...
I think the direct relative is Blair. So Blair, why not?
Sure.
Take it away.
It's included in the film.
Okay, great.
Oh yeah, her standoff and her legal battles and
her eventual victory.
Yeah, and her use of her shotgun too.
Well, that was that
persuade people of her point.
Right, and her welcoming to the U.S. Marshals, I guess, as they appeared in her door.
I've heard a lot of things. I heard just this past week that she actually would fire it over oncoming cars, but that's kind of crazy. Okay, and that's from someone who was very close to her, someone who took care of her, told me that. That kind of blew my mind, because my cousin Clarence said that he knew she had it, but he didn't think it was ever loaded, although it probably was pretty scary seeing a crazy old lady with a shotgun
out there in her long skirt and shooting the shotgun.
Now,
oh boy, let's go somewhere else. This is not going to end well.
She did. We
needed somebody. We needed an interview for the film of somebody who had actually seen Alice with a shotgun.
Okay.
And I was on a trip looking at Indian burial remains out in West Woodstock with Nick Bellantoni, who was a former state historian.
Yeah, archaeologist, yes.
And we were waiting for everybody to come, and I was telling him about the film and Alice and everything, and he said... He was on the archaeological exploration of the house, and she came out with her shotgun, and he told me the story, and I said, Nick, can we interview
you? Oh, my God, of
course.
Oh, perfect.
So he's in the film.
Oh, perfect. Oh, man, this is great. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on the film premiere, The Nine Lives of Number Nine.
At Lowe's, we know your home is an expression of you, and we see you walking down these aisles of possibility, running your finger on that marble top Allen and Roth vanity, regularly $5.99, but now $3.49, and finding that perfect rattan pendant at an everyday low price of $99.98. In our showrooms of style, you'll find whatever you're into at a price you'll really get into. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see associate at Lowe's.com for details. Valid through 8/29/21, U.S. only.
Is finding the clothes that you love in just the right fit and size an overwhelming task? Experience a new way to shop with Stitch Fix. Our experts hand-select pieces so you can get the ease of personal styling from the convenience of home. Every piece is curated just for you, for staying home or on the go in your unique style. With Stitch Fix, there's never any subscription required, and it's delivered right to your door. Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, your style delivered.
Register for the fall semester at Quinebaug Valley Community College. Our staff is here to help. Make an appointment either on ground or virtually with an academic advisor, admissions or financial aid, and select your schedule before classes are filled. Attend classes on ground at the Danielson campus or at our Willimantic location. Take classes from home through live remote taught courses or online at your own pace. You pick the schedule that works best for you, your family, and your education. Go to qvcc.edu/register to learn more.
We're going to try again Thursday night for Killingly Fireworks. The third time is the charm, and Killingly Fireworks are on for Thursday night, July 22nd at Owen Bell Park in Dayville. The park opens at 5 o'clock with a food court in the upper parking lot. At 7 o'clock, it's live music with Whiskey Boulevard. Then at 9 p.m., the main event, Fireworks at Owen Bell Park in Dayville. Admission and parking are free. Produced by the Killingly Parks and Recreation Northeastern Department.
United Services now offers medication-assisted treatment for opioid, alcohol, and tobacco use disorders. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, we're here to help. Our enhanced model program includes individual and group therapy and the opportunity to work with a peer recovery specialist. Openings are available with no wait list. For more information or to make an appointment, call 860-774-2020 or 860-456-2261. Visit UnitedServicesCT.org to learn more.
Great values are happening now during Lowe's Summer Savings. Save on select appliance special values. Plus, save an additional $50 when you buy two or more appliances, each priced $396 or more. You'll also find new lower prices on ceiling fans, landscape lighting, and more. So shop Lowe's today. Must ask cashier to apply discount in store. Online must use promo code. Can't be combined with any other discounts. See Lowe's.com for exclusions and terms. Valid 7/15 through 8/4. U.S. only.
Streaming only on Peacock.
What do you know about Dr. Dunch?
He was charming, intelligent.
My patients mean everything to me.
Based on the unbelievable true story.
I can't make sense of it.
Dunch has two deaths that we know of. The state of Texas has executed people for less.
It's like he knew what he was supposed to do.
And he did the exact opposite.
Dr. Death, starring Joshua Jackson with Christian Slater and Alec Baldwin.
I am going to fix you.
All episodes streaming now, only on Peacock.
I'm talking auto insurance with Joe Beaudreau from Girardi Insurance Services in Putnam. Joe, how important is it to know what's in your policy?
I think it's very important. Fender benders happen. We all have an accident from time to time, and if you cause injury to someone, you want to know your policy is going to be there for you. You should know what you're getting.
I know you hear from a lot of people who try an online insurance carrier and then come back. Why is that?
The biggest problem that they have is that they can't get the same person twice. They have no idea who they're speaking with, and they can't go and sit down with that person. I hear that often. It's not a one-size-fits-all. We're an independent agent. We represent many different carriers. We are local. If you have a problem, you can come in and talk to Joe Beaudreau. We can go over each specific coverage. We can go over your claim. I think it's just a nice added benefit being local.
Does all that service cost more?
Prices are the same. There's no difference. You're not going to pay more for coming to an independent agent.
Can you beat the online prices?
Absolutely.
Call Girardi Insurance Services at 860-928-7771. Online at Girardi Insurance.
Do you have a story to tell? Call the WINY Talk Show now. Our telephone lines are open. Call 928-1350.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind.
Welcome back to your WIMY Talk Show. Sean Johnston back with you with my special guest, Joe I. Armatino, John Rice, Blair Cole, and Tom Chase in studio. Gentlemen, we had a couple of questions from our listeners, so let's go right to the first one. Caller was calling asking about a cemetery in town where people would go to etch one of the gravestones there that has a headstone of a train. And do we know anything about this? And is that headstone related to the Ramsdale train?
Yes. Yeah. There are two headstones over in the cemetery there.
And what cemetery is this, Tom?
It's
West Thompson.
West Thompson.
West Thompson. Okay.
Yeah. And it's in the corner that's near the old railroad bridge. So it's very easy to find.
Okay.
And there's Frank's headstone has Norwich and Worcester number 10. On it, a steam locomotive, American type, four leading wheels and four driving wheels.
Okay.
And it was his favorite. Alice wanted to know what to put on Frank's headstone. She wrote to Walter Fogg, who was a rail fan and a long time, 70-year pal of Frank's. And Walter said, put number 10 on there.
Put number 10 on there.
Yeah.
What, did Frank have any train experience, or was he just an enthusiast? He was a farmer, correct?
Wait, let me finish with the headstones.
Okay. Oh, great. Even more.
There's more.
All right.
Because when Alice passed away, of course, they wanted to put number 9 on it. And at that point, the end numbers were turned around. Everybody was referring to it as number 6. So I think it's number 6 on her headstone.
Oh boy!
But the two headstones are right there in the cemetery, and they're wonderful to look at.
All right, right in that little West Thompson Cemetery, yep. Right there. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. that answers yeah. question.
If the question about Frank, I think Frank was a rail fan. Probably from when he was born, I think.
Okay.
But
he never worked in the industry per se.
No.
Okay.
No, his mother was ill just after he finished school, and he had to go work on the farm. But when he was going to school, he rode the railroad. I think sometimes he probably rode in the cab. He certainly rode in the cab with Walter Fogg, who was a fireman on the New Haven at that point. And so when he was a schoolboy, he was doing rail fan stuff. Just like a lot of us did.
Oh, I bet. And so his fascination started at a young age, and yep. Boy, it grabbed him, and it never left him. Even though he was a farmer, boy, his love was a train.
Yep.
Oh, neat. And another question that came in is, at one point, Sally Rogers, former state troubadour, had worked with local school systems, would go in and work with the history department in those schools. I think it was third, fourth, fifth graders, maybe, and take the stories, the local historical stories, and turn them into songs. And someone seems to think that one of the songs that they did was about the Ramsdell story. Any recollection of that from the three of you? And if so, is that song still out there? Anyone know how one might find a copy of that?
It is, and I'm not sure where you find a copy.
It's on one of Sally Rogers' discs.
Yeah, it's on a disc. She's, yeah. There's a collection.
Okay.
And I'm looking it up right now. Hopefully it doesn't play.
Sally Rogers with a D or just R? I think it's R-O-D-G. Is it
R-O-G-E-R-S.
R-O-G-E-R-S. So before we're done, I bet we find one member of our listening audience will Google and figure out how one might be able to get a copy of
it. It's the 16th track on her disc called Alice Ramsdell. And the title of the disc is Songs of the Heritage Corridor.
Oh, okay.
From 1998.
And I had an opportunity to go to that concert when they worked with the Thompson School System. Our boys were in school at that time. And what a fascinating job. What a neat project that was to take history and let the students work with this artist to create a song. And to learn the song, and they went and put on a big concert. And so I guarantee those kids to the day remember the words to that song and thus remember their history. You know, and it was all towns around northeastern Connecticut in the Heritage Corridor. So it's quite fascinating. Joe Iamartino, boy, is the Thompson Historical Society one really lucky organization? It seems like you have had so many talented, tremendous people with knowledge and passion and hard work sort of step up and lend a helping hand to that organization and Northeastern Connecticut's great friend, which we lost recently. Joe Lindley was a classic example of that, but we've got Blair, we've got other people, and if there's a section of history in town that's out there, it seems someone steps forth and does the whole chronicling of it and brings in artifacts. So talk a little bit about that, because, boy, you guys have done some neat stuff.
That's it. You know, in the general population, how many people think about history every single day? And you say, well, people, they'll love to hear a story, but how many of them really have that passion to dive in deep and research something or make a movie about it? So it's that rare 5% who have that burning passion. Now, they don't necessarily all have burning passions for graveyards or locomotives or old mills. Everyone has a passion
sure. That
is tied to something specific. And so what we've tried to do with the Historical Society is find people who have those different passions. And it's the passion I look for. That's what I seek.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you're passionate about something, I want to put a meat hook in you and drag you into the organization and let you, you know, thrive in the culture and that passion that you want to tell that type of a story to the population nearby. And so that's one other element I would like to talk about, if you don't mind, has to do with you. I mean, think about your involvement and your willingness to step forward and help us tell this story. to get Blair's story and get people into the seats to appreciate the impact Alice Ramsdell had, but also about the floods. This story tells the story of the flood and the impact on the local people. And when you see it in living color and you see the pleasure and the happiness of the people who restored this train and to get it running, and you see that pleasure on their face running down the track with the smoke coming out.
Oh, that pure joy, I bet.
That's the passion. That's what we seek. And if you come and watch this movie, you're going to be smiling at the end. I guarantee you are going to have a happy day.
Oh, awesome.
So get those people in the seats, Sean, and spread the message.
We will. And we thank you for saying that. WIMY is one of the great things it is community radio. We are a community partner. Gary and Karen have always lived that motto, and the talk show is an extension of that. If we want to get information out to people, we want to lead community conversations, the easy conversations like this, and oftentimes on the talk show, the difficult conversations. We came through a really painful election where people had very strong feelings, and we talked about that a lot. We came through Black Lives Matter over the last year. Not an easy conversation to talk about. We talked about that. So we look at this as community radio. We want to be a partner. So we're thrilled that you're here this morning. And John Rice, so taking off on that day, we want to sell that place out.
Just one more thing, Sean.
Yeah.
With Joe talking about the volunteers, the museum, Ellen Larned Museum, there's few of us that are there pretty much every Sunday. And people just come in and bring in historical gems of the town of Thompson.
Neat.
And Joe inputs that into the system. It just blows our mind, at least mine, is the involvement. You talk about the involvement of the people that are interested in the town of Thompson and preserving the history of the town of Thompson. It's just good stuff.
Oh, it is. Tell the quick story about the museum, if you can, John, because not many towns have a museum. And in a public high school, which is something else, you know, and we have two museums, really.
Right. You have the Ellen Larned Museum in the center of Thompson up on a green. That was the former library. Right. It was turned over to the Historical Society when the roof became... It was leaking pretty bad.
Compromise. Let's use compromise. That's a gentle term.
Yeah. Is that I spent many a days up there before a rainstorm, putting the buckets up there and trying to catch the rain. But again, the town says if you wanted to put a new roof on it, fine. And they donated the building to us. And we raised the $150,000 in order to do that through the generosity of the people of Thompson. Right. And a grant from the Historical Society of the State of Connecticut.
It was a win-win. I mean, that building is preserved, and the town's history can continue to exist.
And if anybody is interested, come in anytime between 9 and noontime on a Sunday. There's a current display in there of the Woman of Thompson, and it's very interesting, all the historical memorabilia that's in there from the ladies in the town of Thompson.
And Thompson was a big suffrage town too, wasn't it? Quite a great leadership by women at that time, and leading that fight in quiet little Thompson, Connecticut.
Yeah, you had a guest in yesterday or the day before with Renee Waldron, and she, from my observation, is that kind of led that program a few years ago, the women's suffrage. That was a big program in the town of Thompson. It's pretty active. But back to the day of the show, the August 14th, it is at the historical, on the historical, I got that on my lip all the time, is the high school auditorium. It's at the high school auditorium. If you're familiar with that, go up into the backside of the high school parking. You'll be able to go into it. We have two shows, one at 1:15 and the other is 2:45. In the interim, after the show of the 1:15, we will have a bus available to transport people so you don't have to get in your car and move to the front side of the old high school. We'll bus you around. and take you upstairs to the three museums that we have currently on the second floor. I'm sorry. One is the J. Kenney Museum, which was the original post office in Mechanicsville.
Mechanicsville, right by the river, in the railroad tracks.
Right by the river. Glennis donated that whole store. When we walked into that facility, it was just like, well, they did. When that ended, they just turned the key and everything was in place the way it was. So several of us, when she wanted to donate it, that we disassembled the post office and reassembled it in that one classroom that was graciously donated, for use at least, by the Thompson Board of Education. A lot of help from the superintendent, Melinda Smith, of course. And that room will be open. Across the hall is the Ramsdale collection that Tom Chase has been working on for several years. And there must be hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of photographs of trains that are in there.
We figure about 10,000, maybe 8,000 photographs, and then a whole bunch of other stuff.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of material. And
unbelievable.
Very interesting.
Unbelievable.
And the Turtelot Museum will also be open for viewing. So the three museums on the second floor will be open after the meeting, after the showing of the film premiere. In between after that, then we'll reverse that if anybody wants to come in after the 2:45 show.
John, let me say something about the Turtelot Museum. I used to work for the Freer Gallery in the Smithsonian. We had a huge collection of Whistler material, James McNeil Whistler, because Freer and Whistler were friends. So I'm well conversant with Golden Age material, and the Turtelot Memorial Museum is just an amazing repository of Golden Age, you know, paintings, pottery, bric-a-bracs, metalwork. Plus all of the historical photographs of the pictures of the family.
And that's coming from someone who worked his life in the Smithsonian. So that tells us something. So, hey, gentlemen, we're going to take one last quick break, give you 30 seconds or so to kind of wrap up and repique people's interest. But August 14th, the premiere film, 1:15, 2:45. We'll come back, tell you exactly how you can get tickets.
Are you ready to relay? The American Cancer Society Relay for Life of Northeast Connecticut is back Saturday, August 7th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the Brooklyn Fairgrounds. Gather your family, friends, and neighbors and get ready to relay around the world. This amazing event is rain or shine, so get ready to relay Saturday, August 7th at the Brooklyn Fairgrounds, 15 Fairgrounds Road, just off Route 169 in Brooklyn. Thank you to our top sponsors, Linemaster Switch Corporation, Foster Corporation, and Fiber Optics Technology.
Marcus by Goldman Sachs offers personal loans with no fees, ever. Banks offer coffee. So, what's more important, a Marcus by Goldman Sachs loan with no fees that could help consolidate debt, or bank coffee that tastes like bank coffee? You can money. Visit Marcus.com to learn more about saving, borrowing, and investing from Marcus by Goldman Sachs.
Investing involves risk and investments may lose value. Brokerage and investment advisory services by Goldman Sachs and Company, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Lending and deposits products provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA. Member FDIC.
Great values are happening now during Lowe's Summer Savings. Save on select appliance special values. Plus, save an additional $50 when you buy two or more appliances, each priced $396 or more. You'll also find new lower prices on ceiling fans, landscape lighting, and more. So shop Lowe's today. Must ask cashier to apply discount in store. Online must use promo code. Can't be combined with any other discounts. See Lowe's.com for exclusions and terms. Valid 7/15 through 8/4. U.S. only.
Is finding the clothes that you love in just the right fit and size an overwhelming task? Experience a new way to shop with Stitch Fix. Our experts hand-select pieces so you can get the ease of personal styling from the convenience of home. Every piece is curated just for you, for staying home or on the go in your unique style. With Stitch Fix, there's never any subscription required, and it's delivered right to your door. Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, your style delivered.
The Thompson Recreation Summer Concert Series is back at the Riverside Park Baseball Field with two free concerts this weekend. On Saturday, it's throwback to the 60s with vintage rock and a psychedelic show. Then on Sunday night, July 25th, it's the Pulaski Brass Band with traditional marches, concert selections, show tunes, and polkas. Showtime is 5:30 to 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at Riverside Park on Riverside Drive in North Grovenadale. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and enjoy the free shows produced by the Thompson Recreation Department.
Hi, this is Dick Loomis with an invitation for you to join the Remember When crew every Friday morning at 8:20. We have a lot of fun as we test your memory and ours too while we talk about our local history in Northeast Connecticut. We always have a few laughs and welcome your phone calls. Join us this Friday morning.
Remember When is powered by Dick Loomis and Lynn Tedeschi Converse, the Loomis team. Expect more, get more at RE/MAX Bell Park Realty, 25 Providence Street, Putnam. Call 860-928-7991.
Do you remember?
You work hard and you train hard, and let's face it, sometimes it hurts. But it doesn't have to be that way. Stick it to the pain with the Tiger Balm Pain Relieving Patch. Convenient to apply, Hydrogel technology sends Tiger Balm's proven pain relief right to your aches and pains. It's fast, safe, and long-lasting. Made from a blend of herbal ingredients, Tiger Balm is trusted pain relief for everyone, from world-class athletes to weekend warriors. Roar back with Tiger Balm. It works where it hurts. Available at stores everywhere.
Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Call the WINY Talk Show now and offer your opinion and ideas at 928-1350. Call now and be heard.
Call. Don't be afraid, you can call me. Tell me and I'll be around.
Welcome back to your WINY Talk Show. Sean Johnston back with you, and we are just going to wrap up. Blair Cole, director of this awesome film, you get to kind of get the last word in here this morning.
Great. Well, I hope everybody gets out to see the film. It'll be shown rain or shine. Obviously, it's a movie. We're going to be indoors. And it's a local story that covers the kind of the shared dreams and aspirations of half a dozen people at least, spanning a period of 60 years, and also visually a window into a long-gone world of Thompson and Maine, using images that were created largely by the Ramsdells. They were avid film buffs as well. And we have, the film is loaded with images that they shot on their own movie cameras. It's pretty amazing. So hopefully everyone will show up. August 14th, 1:15 and 2:45 are the show times at Turtle Up Memorial High School Auditorium in Thompson. Tickets are free with advanced registration, and you can go to thompsonhistorical.org.
Oh, thank you. Perfect. We're going to break. Oh, man, guys, thank you. That was awesome.
1350 AM, WINY Putnam, and 97.1 FM, W246 DN Putnam, online at winyradio.com.